And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will be truly free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me, because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father. They answered and said to him, Our father is Abraham. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father. So they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
This fascinating first reading from Daniel has as the background the Judean captives or exiles who are of royal blood and are intelligent, handsome, quick to learn. That's what we hear in Daniel 1. And they insisted on vegetarianism so they wouldn't be defiled by the pagan food, the non-kosher food. And then the great dream of the king in Daniel 2 of the statue made of different materials, all the way from gold to the head to the tile feet. So the expression, you have clay feet, comes from Daniel chapter 2. And then today we have, of course, the golden idol. It's a national idol, probably a colossus statue of 90 feet high, maybe on a pedestal. That, you know, this is the good old fashioned idol, you know, where you bow down and worship, and if you don't, you get burned alive. What do they call it? Being burned alive. So this is probably one of the chief deities of Babylon, so it's pagan worship. So these three friends of Daniel were faithful Jews, unlike generally Israel as a whole, that was not faithful. And that's probably why, in some ways, a lot of Judeans, a lot of Israelites got along well in Babylon. They were maybe syncretistic, you know, we'll worship Yahweh, but we can offer a little incense. What harm is that to the foreign gods? And I think a lot of Catholics do that. A little New Age over here, and a little Eucharistic adoration over here, and it's okay, you know, kind of mix it all together. Now, in those days, like in Roman times, which, in a way, this was Roman times as well, worship was a civic duty, you know. So it wasn't just a matter of not being reverent. It's also a matter of treason. But you notice, you feel all the shades of similarities. Big government, they set up their idol. And if you don't do what we tell you, we're going to burn you alive in some fashion. The fires also of this seven times hot oven, that is, it's very hot, can also represent the temptations that we experience today. The fires are hotter than ever with instant communications and iPhones. Everywhere we look, there's temptation, right? And so we need a greater and deeper faith than we ever have needed before. And we need to be grounded in our Catholic faith and living the sacraments, or we will get burned alive by passion and other things that want to lure us in. Father Ron Wolheiser, who I don't always necessarily agree with in everything, talks about how Western popular culture is the greatest intoxicant ever invented by man. And you see it. That's one thing ISIS got right. They understood that Western culture can seduce you, as it seduced many Catholics and many Christians. And so we need that fourth person that looks like an angel, or like a son of man, which is an Old Testament way of describing an angel, to help us, to cool the fires so that we don't get burned alive by the temptations of our culture. Also in this context, not in this particular passage, Azariah's prayer laments national sin. We have no priest, prophet, or leader among us, no sacrifice, you know, the temple is lying in ruins. And boy, does that sound familiar, national sin. National sin requires national reparation and national kind of, you know, like rosary rallies, as we do here the second Saturday of every October. And the need to be heroically faithful when many of our own fellow Christians and Catholics are going, following the drift of culture and the national sin and national idols, American idol, you know, whatever you want to call it, or idols. And so what happens, ironically, now this is later in Daniel that you can read on your own, one of the covenant curses are being already unleashed, that's why they're in exile, but one of them is depopulation. The population of the Israelites went down. So you could say that rampant contraception among Catholics is a curse. We are below replacement level of births in America, 1.72. And if it weren't for, let's say, migration, immigration, legal or otherwise from the southern border, many of whom are Catholics, it would be much lower. Europe is in a demographic winter. They're dying by extinction except for the immigrants they're letting in. And so that is a curse to not have children and progeny in your country. So we're already under chastisement, and a lot of it's self-induced and self-created. So we don't want to be like the Pharisees that are hardened in sin, as Jesus tells them. They could die in their sin. And better to be faithful and be thrown into the fires of death than to apostatize. A cheap denial of your faith, as many politicians do. I was joking with one of our Chaldean volunteers that her ancestors were the one throwing the Jews into the furnace. But really, this repeats itself in every era. In every era, you've got those with the power, and they're telling the little people what to do and to bow down to their idols. Please, Eucharistic Jesus, and St. Joseph, through your prayers and Our Lady, give us the grace to be faithful.
Amen.
Amen. And brothers and sisters, please stand for our intercessions.